The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I hope that you're having a wonderful Wednesday. This Wednesday is a great time to talk about The Gospel Under Siege and Grace in Eclipse, two of GES's books. That's because we're in a series that we're calling What's in the GES Bookstore. That's the Grace Evangelical Society Bookstore. You may not have known this. GES publishes books. We have lots of them, and we hope that you'll take advantage of those by going to faithalone.org. Today, we're going to talk about The Gospel Under Siege and Grace in Eclipse. I got the chance to sit down with Dr. Bob Wilkin and talk about these two great little books. So I want to share that conversation with you now, right here on Grace in Focus.
Hi, let me say hi to everybody. Hi, how are y'all doing? I'm Bob Wilkin, and I'm with
Lucas Kitchen.
Hey, buddy. Lucas Kitchen, and you don't even do much around the kitchen, do you?
I'm very intimidated even when discussions about food come up. I don't have the vocabulary for it. So, well, hey, we are moving through our series called What's in the Bookstore?
What's in the Bookstore? Sounds like a TV show. Let's go for it.
We've looked at The Hungry Inherit by Zane Hodges. We've looked at Confident in Christ by you, Bob. And today we're going to try to do two, if you can believe that.
Oh, boy.
We're going to try to do two. We've got The Gospel Under Siege by Zane Hodges, and we've got Grace in Eclipse by Zane Hodges. And these have been packaged together with The Hungry Inherit, which we've already talked about in a book called Free Grace Primer.
Right.
So we're really kind of talking about three books.
And all of these are available individually through GES, or you can get all three together in the primer.
And where would you go for that, Bob?
Faithalone.org.
Faithalone.org. You hear us say it all the time. Okay, well, let's talk about The Gospel Under Siege. What do we, you know, when this was written, when Zane was working on this, I mean, the cover, the original cover has a cross that's burning and a castle with turrets, and I mean, it looks like literally a siege is going on this cover, this book cover. What was going on theologically at the time when this was written?
Okay, it was copyrighted in 81, and I graduated from Dallas Seminary in 82 with my master's degree, and 85 was my doctorate. So I first met Zane Hodges, I think, in January of 80 when I took the course on Hebrews from him, and then every semester after that, I was taking more classes from him. And so he wrote this while I was one of his students. And basically, I believe this sprang out of discussions he had with students and also with some of the objections that various faculty members at Dallas Seminary raised about him. And so he was responding to what later, well, even at the time was called Lordship Salvation, but later gained more popularity when in 1988, John MacArthur wrote The Gospel According to Jesus.
Okay. So this was kind of the lead up to that controversy. Let's see. We said it was 85?
81 for The Gospel Under Siege, 85 for Grace in Eclipse. And The Gospel Under Siege, what, there's a subtitle on it, isn't there? What's the subtitle?
It's The Gospel Under Siege, A Study on Faith and Works.
So it's all about that relationship and showing that works are not a guaranteed fruit of faith, and that perseverance in good works is not guaranteed, but that if we do persevere in good works, we're going to hear the Lord's well done, we're going to have eternal rewards. Then the follow-up book, Grace in Eclipse, is A Study on Eternal Rewards. That's the subtitle. And that book basically picks up where the first book left off, where The Gospel Under Siege left off. I highly recommend both of these. Now, they're very small books. They're under 200 pages.
Yeah, they're both around 100 pages, a little bit under. What were some of the challenges that Zane was hearing from students and from... What are some examples of those types of challenges he was getting?
Well, one of them would have been the nature of saving faith, with a lot of the faculty and students arguing that faith is more than simply being persuaded.
Yeah.
There's some sort of emotional, volitional component to it. They would go with Burkhoff's idea that there are three elements in saving faith. They called them notitia, assensus, and fiducia. And notitia is understanding.
Yeah.
Assensus is assent or agreement. And then fiducia they called trust. And so they would say trust is the volitional element, assensus or assent is the intellectual element, and notitia or understanding is the emotional element. But Gordon Clark came out with a book called Faith and Saving Faith, I think around the time Zane wrote these books, and Clark's view was that all faith is propositional.
Yeah.
And so if there's a proposition, a tree is a plant, I'm either persuaded that proposition is true or false. And there's no emotional component to it. There's no willful component to it. It's just persuasion. That was one of the issues. I think another issue were all the problem texts, all of the warnings in the New Testament. A lot of people, students and faculty at DTS, held that the warning passages were warning professing believers they might not be genuine believers.
Yeah.
Whereas Hodges took the position that the warnings were warning born-again people that they might fall away and experience judgment now and at the judgment seat of Christ, but not loss of eternal destiny.
Yeah. Would they openly debate him on that, or what was
Well, what happened, and this is while I was at DTS, I think this was around 80, 81, 82, in those years, maybe going back even to 79, there were faculty members that in their classes, a student would come over and say, Prof. Hodges, which is what they called him, Prof. Hodges said that faith without works is dead means faith without works is unprofitable, but he didn't say it's not faith. Could you comment on that? And so then the other faculty member would say, well, I think that view is absurd for these three reasons, or it's wrong for these three reasons. And then somebody else would say, well, Prof. Hodges said in Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, that these people are born again people who are in danger of falling away. And if they do, well, you can't renew into repentance, but they're still born again. What do you think of that? Yeah. And they'd say, I don't think that view has any merit. And they'd explain why. Well, at some point, I'm not sure what year was, 80, 81, 82, he went to the president at the time and said to him, I believe it was Dr. Campbell at that point, said, you know, I'm getting this criticism in these classes, and that's not appropriate. Because theological institutions, generally speaking, you would talk about theological issues, but not people.
Oh, okay.
So if a student said, what do you think of the idea that Hebrews 6, 4 to 8 means such and so, that professor would answer it. But if they said, Prof. Hodges said such and so, they'd say, you know, come and talk to me privately, but I don't want to get into talking about a colleague.
Yeah.
Zane complained to the president, not because he was so thin-skinned he couldn't take criticism, but because he felt it was prejudicing the students against his views.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, right? I mean, if they're hearing from other people that these views aren't sustainable, then he's ultimately debating his own colleagues, but not directly, indirectly. Yeah. But Zane felt that was inappropriate. So I think that the Gospel Under Siege and Grace in Eclipse both grew out of the experiences he had in the classroom.
Wow. You know, it seems to me, in looking at it, at his writing, that he was very careful not to point fingers and call names a lot of times in the body of the text. And so is it kind of for you, does it sort of distill that experience when you read through that? Or does he stay away from talking through all of his books about other theologians that disagree? Does he call names? Does he point his finger? Or is it?
Well, when he came to Absolutely Free, which was 1989, Zondervan published it. Then he was responding to MacArthur's book, The Gospel According to Jesus, but he was unwilling to mention MacArthur in the text.
Yeah.
So he mentioned him in endnotes.
Yeah.
And later, when we took up the book again, we moved some of the longer endnotes into the text so that now you do occasionally see MacArthur's name in the text, because we felt that these notes were too important to be buried in endnotes. But yes, his general policy was to discuss issues, not people. But let me just mention a few of the chapters from these two books. In The Gospel Under Siege, he has chapters on how it's under siege, on the issue of assurance, can I really be sure? What is dead faith, from James 2? The cost of discipleship, that's like Luke 14. He talks about the Christian and apostasy. He talks about problem passages in Paul. And then faith and water baptism. And then grace triumphant. And in the other book, Grace in Eclipse, he talks about the fact that grace is in eclipse because the doctrine of rewards is misunderstood, mm-hmm. equated with the great white throne judgment, not the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
And he talks about false professors. He argues that all of the epistles were written to born-again people,
yeah.
not mixed groups of born-again,
yeah.
not born-again. He talks about the Sermon on the Mount, the rich young ruler, the fact that we're all going to be judged according to our works. He talks about receiving a kingdom and ruling with Christ. He talks about the outer darkness, which he calls the darkness outside. And he's got the final chapter on the overcomers. So all of the theology that has come to be kind of standard fare within free grace circles really emanates from these two books.
Yeah. I'll just say for me, going through those chapters, those concepts that you mentioned there have become so foundational for the free grace movement. And it's interesting, you know, you can still go back and look at the kind of the original writing that helped people begin to see and unlock these concepts. So you can get that, any of these, at faithalone.org.
Now, I would like to just say in closing that it's important for people to recognize Zane Hodges is not the father of free grace theology. He may be the father of modern free grace theology, but even that's probably going too far. What's accurate to say is there's always been people in every generation
yeah.
who held to the fact that faith is simple, that it's believing, it's being persuaded, they believed in eternal security, but we don't have existing writings from most of those people. Throughout church history, there have been examples like the Merrill controversy or Robert Sandeman and Sandemanianism or John Glass and John Nelson Darby and the early Plymouth Brethren. And
yeah.
Lewis Berry Chafer was essentially coming from a free grace perspective. And there's been lots and lots and lots of people, R.B. Thieme. But the truth is, Hodges was instrumental in the modern articulation of free grace theology, and he came to much, if not most, of this on his own by studying the scriptures and praying about it.
That's
both
beautiful.
When he was at Wheaton, he got his four-year degree at Wheaton in New Testament, and then also when he was at Dallas Seminary as a student, and then later on the faculty. And he always was studying.
Well, that's great. I love the story that's behind all this. Well, you can get all of those books at faithalone.org. Thanks for listening. I want to remind you, don't forget, believe in Jesus for life. Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about secure and sure, and also the road to reward. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.